Hello nerds, and welcome to Technomancers, the D&D actual play podcast with a minus one in charisma. I'm Ivan Brett.
I think I've got minus two in charisma already.
Well, hopefully you'll level up at the end of the session. I'm Ivan Brett, a dungeon master with a 10-point plan of the nasty things I'd try if I ever learnt mage hand in real life. And we're coming to you live, but on a podcast from the London offices of Elastocloud. And I'm joined by four of my friends and colleagues who will introduce themselves in the order of how many different things they'd do if they learnt mage hand in real life, starting with the fewest.
Yeah, I'm Lucy and I play Sark, and I'd only do one thing. So I'll do I'm not going to elaborate.
Oh. He's going to do two things with their mage hand.
Oh.
This is a new blue direction for the podcast.
No,
my
it's
friends.
Not. I haven't said anything. If you're thinking something dirty, that's on you.
Well, I said the word nasty in my introduction, so you know that all my 10 things are absolutely disgusting. Who's next?
I feel like I would do a lot with it.
Yeah. I'm done counting up in my head. I mean, not all of them are filthy. Some of them are just really stupid.
Rich has started a spreadsheet.
I've got a spreadsheet for everything, I must warn you.
I'll go next, because otherwise you're going to lose me for the rest of the podcast just coming up with increasingly stupid ideas. But I just... Yeah. Anyway, I'm Misha, and I play Light Through Rain. And I think I can, like, off the top of my head, come up with at least 11 things that I would do if I could do Mage Hand in real life. And not all of them are filthy.
Okay, I will go next. I'm Rob. I'm playing Linus of Menardis. And I feel like I know I've gone third, but I think you all underestimate how lazy I would become if I had mage hand. Everything. Literally everything. Like making toast for breakfast, mage hand. Making a coffee, mage hand. Making the bed, mage hand. Everything.
But it wouldn't just be that. It would be like, but now I'm just going to ask mage hand to stick itself in the toaster and turn it down. Like, I'm going to see what mage hand would do.
Exactly.
Like, it becomes a sort of, oh, it's fine.
But you see, I was thinking along the lines of, like, you could use it to give someone a wedgie and it would be really funny because you'd be across the room.
It would be good. It would be good. It's not very strong, so just give them the lightest wedgie, like the kind of wedgie you get when you've, like, been sick, you've sat down and then you stood up again and you're like... So, Rich, that means that you are going to do even more things with your mage hand than Rob is.
Yeah, I've just been... I think all of mine are strikes. Like hooks, uppercuts. I've got hammer blows, back fists. I've like been reeling through every single martial art because I'm feeling really, really feisty at the moment. And if I get to... if I get to do combination strikes as well with the mage hand... I think I'm going to win overall.
So Mage Hand is very specific about not you're not allowed to attack with it, and it's very weak. So what I like even more is that it would be doing all these things, but like a pathetic somebody with a glove, being like, the most pain you could cause is kind of like challenging somebody to a duel with it, I think. A light glove slap around the face. But yeah, you can do it, just not with any pain.
Appropriately for Richard's character, it's going to be like punching in a dream.
Hey.
Oh, that feeling. Oh, yeah.
I don't know whether you can see this. This is more for Misha's benefit because I...
Oh, no.
That's the cat.
Oh, no.
I have, yes.
For those of you at home, Richard just showed us a gaping wound about 8 inches long that is festering. Blood pouring out of it. He's dressed in a very smart suit, but that entire arm is just red with clotted blood. It's pretty gnarly, actually, pal. It's pretty good.
I know. I was so proud of him. He's learned to scratch with more than one claw at once.
Oh, cute. <All right. laughs> Oh, he's growing. Okay, so let's take a little recap. Cloud Balls, Inc. Are on their way to the city circle to ask for help in saving the city from the oncoming threat of the Springtide. They also have a complicated side plan to steal a hugely important religious relic, that plan being costumes. And most recently, they almost started a street war over the purchasing of a cool sword. That's it. That's where we are. You are walking back through the North Wall Agora. Light Through Rain, you have a very, very smart new sword at your hilt. It is at your hilt. This sword, Misha, is at your hilt.
Excellent. I don't know quite where the hilt of a cat is, but we'll figure it out between us.
Oh, come on. Rich has found out where the hilt of a cat
it's the
is. the sword with its hilt in its scabbard, resting on your waist, and you feel pretty well. Tell me, how do you feel about this?
That's a good question. I think Lytherin feels sort of slightly excited and slightly sort of like she's on a real adventure now, having previously been armed only with. Having claws and a tiny knife. Possibly the kind of tiny knife you take off the kitchen counter.
Little serrated fella. You haven't quite figured out how to put this on your leg. You tried putting it sort of in front of your leg, and then you bumped it with every footstep, and then it kind of like landed on the other footstep. And that was quite fun for a bit, but that began to rub. And now you've got it at the side, but it's kind of swinging around. So this is a new experience for you, but certainly an exciting one.
She's just staring at it instead of where she's going now.
You bump into a small child, knocking them to the ground, scattering a little bowl full of nuts that they were eating. They begin to cry.
Oh dear. Sorry.
It's okay. Do you want to mage hand the wet nuts back into the? Oh, hang on, that was a easy idea.
I was gonna say, get off my list. Yeah, you're right.
Let's move on.
let's leave that one.
Has Rob left the call? I was just having a difficult time. Guys, it's a family show.
Why have I been picked for that? You literally said it.
No, I know. It's just because you had... Okay, yeah. The rain continues to fall on this slightly grey day, and you slowly make your way north from the North Wall of Gora into the Rises. A quite well-to-do administrative area of town that is punctuated by these large rising hills, each of which has a castle or a manor, or one of them, an acropolis on top. Surrounding these hills are these kind of circular roads, also with major buildings. And then in the spaces filled by the sort of flats between these little hills, slightly less important buildings, but equally tall townhouse type things, often two or three stories. And the people walking around seem to be fairly snooty, fairly self-important. The businesses and everything on offer just seem to be a bit more prim than most of the city. It's easy to spot the Circle Acropolis. It is the tallest of these hills, and it has an acropolis on top. You see the sort of the large pale stone building open to the elements. So today it's a slightly soggy affair. And this is the place where the city circle meet, make their decisions, have their debates, and decide on the laws and the running of the city. As you approach, you can see that there is a sort of picket, quite tall picket, almost like not picket fence, more like metal fence, surrounding the base of this green grassy hill. On one side, there is a wide, broad pair of set of steps that run all the way up to the Acropolis at the top. And at the bottom of those steps is a grand gate with two Minotaur guards standing there, with large, sort of heraldic-looking halberds crossed in front of them in an X shape.
Do you think we should just ask them nicely if they'll let us in?
We're here to give them some important news, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're not in trouble, are we?
We just need to tell them.
Okay, well, I don't mind. I'll go up. I think Sark kind of puffs out her chest and tries to look very proper and official, which is kind of hello there, gents, good afternoon.
One of the Minotaurs looks down at you with slightly sort of suspicious eyes and says, Yalorit Pes.
That's good.
You were shocked by my accent, because I certainly am. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep this one up for very long, so let's make this one short, shall we?
Yeah. Hey, mate. We'd be looking to come in. We've got some important news to deliver. Would that be all right?
Normally news is delivered in a newspaper, a journal, something like that. Strange for you to be wanting to deliver it like this.
Yeah, this is the sort of information that's best given in person, actually. So.
Or you're looking for counsel with the City Circle, are you?
Yeah. If that's all right. Yeah.
He kind of shakes his head and goes, surgeries are on new and full moons, 9 to 11 and then 2 to 4.30. Bookings can be made at the City Administrative Dungeon over there. There. He suddenly starts spitting. Oh, sorry about that.
Right.
I can't just have anybody walking in and talking to the City Circle. They're important people. They're busy people.
Oh, no, I fully get that. But what if it was an emergency?
What sort of emergency is it?
A kind of like city ruining sort of emergency.
He looks around. Seems fine to me.
Yeah, it's not fine actually. But is there a process for emergency meetings if I go and talk to the bookings people?
Aye, I mean, you can probably have a little meeting with them next new or full moon. The surgeries are 9 to 11.30 and then 2 till 4.30 on those days of a new or full moon.
I'll be right back. And I kind of go, I think I've lost my Essex Y boy accent. I go.
It's all right. This guy never got his Geordie accent. Yeah. So.
I'll go back to room. Like, yeah, seems like we have to come back on a full moon. Does anyone know what moon it happens to be?
I will look at the moon.
give me a perception check.
In the rain in the daytime.
Perception check. That is an 11.
It's raining. You know clouds? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're closer to you than the moon is this time. Also, a point of information, because I feel like I haven't been enforcing this well enough. As a group, you've not been particularly forthcoming about giving Zark any information. But if you ever did pass on any information about what happened inside the Lamplight Guild, it would have come out as a bubble.
Yeah.
So, Lucy, you know that something's going to ruin the city. Mm. You know that there are definitely kind of like bluefins coming or something like that.
Yeah.
You do not know what spurned this whole thing. Yeah. You don't know the inciting incident. I think... Haven't listened back to all of it in the last day. I think potentially they haven't told you anyway. But even if they had, they haven't.
Yeah, okay. Well, that works well. That goes seamlessly.
Can I do a history check to try and remember what the moon looked like last night?
Sure you can.
on if it currently being raining. And the daytime. that's a 13.
You definitely don't remember being wild and crawling up the curtains, so you don't think it was a full moon. You don't know about new moon. It's, let's say that you don't feel like it's either. It may be sort of, you know, if you had to guess, waxing gibbous. Gibbous?
Okay.
Gibbous?
I always say gibbous, but I don't know if that makes it right.
There's five of us. Let's take a vote. I say gibbous.
I don't know what word you're talking about.
I think it's gibbous.
Are you going gibbous? All or right. Like Rob abstains. It's waxing gibbons. That's what it is. Mm. Someone has got a gibbon and they have got those like veat waxing strips and they've entirely removed all the fur from a gibbon and that's the moon.
So oh, no.
Well,
it's like when you've had one bite out of a Jaffa cake was gibbous. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Listen, if no one waxes the gibbons, how are you going to use your lip salve? That's how they test lip salve on a waxed gibbon.
No. This is awful.
Animal cruelty is evil.
I would like to just go over and ask the little hut when the next, in terms of days, how many days?
Would you like to go to the administrative dungeon, or would you like to go and ask the two Minotaurs?
I'll ask the two Minotaurs because I want to hear their accent again.
Oh, right, yeah, let's do that then.
Specifically, I'm going to ask the Geordie.
Yeah, the other one doesn't speak because he's got a really uncomfortable accent that I'm not willing to do. okay, yeah, go for it. He kind of eyes you approaching, lifts his helmet so he can see you a bit better.
Yeah. Right.
Arit.
you said we've got to wait for a full moon to make an appointment?
That's right. That's right.
how many days is that?
Ah, well, you know what? I don't keep count of the days. For me, my job is just to make sure that no one comes here through without an appointment slip.
Right, because I thought it was a full moon today.
Well, it could be, but nobody's come through with an appointment slip who isn't in the city circle.
Right.
If you've not got a membership badge or appointment slip, I can't let you through. Canny. I canny let you through.
How do you get a membership badge?
You've got to be appointed to the city circle. Right. It is a long-winded democratic process. The appointment is for life. He loses confidence in his accent and stops talking.
Okay. And there's no other way to talk to the circle?
Oh, you could wait here until they come out.
Well, seems easier.
Aye.
Don't just sit on the floor.
Can I wander over to see why Linus has just sat down on the floor? Linus, why are you waiting?
Well, he said that we can wait here for the circle to come out and chat with them then.
Right.
Well, I've seen you curl up into a little ball on the floor and it's looked quite comfortable. I thought I'd give it a go.
I mean, that does make sense. Although the floor's quite wet.
It is quite wet. I didn't think about this before I sat down. My trousers are absolutely soaked. I'm now a little bit embarrassed to stand up because it's going to be dripping.
Well,
you're not wearing your armour right now?
Yeah, but I imagine like it's sort of like the thing with like the metal
seeping through the
on
joints.
The front of my thighs and my knees. Oh, yeah. I've got like a chain skirt kind of thing on, like with my, because I've got that leather pouch that has all of my leather work or steel worker's tools around my belt. So I imagine it's more of like a caped flap.
The old caped flap, no. Yeah, allowing for wet to seep through
exactly.
Into the old wet bum. Okay, yeah, no, that's fine. I'm glad you went into details there. I can really imagine your ass now.
Really thinking about it.
Really picturing your ass.
Well, like, you have a tail as well, so there is definitely a gap there.
True. Also, love true. That this is the third episode in a row that we spent discussing Linus's bum in detail.
I mean, that's what the podcast is now,
just
right?
Linus's bum chat.
He's
sat cross-legged on the floor. Or
yeah.
Excellent.
Actually, no, I don't think I would be able to if I'm wearing armour on my legs. I think it would be more like hands back behind me, legs straight out in front of me like I'm laying on a bench.
Basically, what I'm trying to establish is if there is enough lap for light through rain to clamber onto and settle down where it's dry.
Oh, that's
oh.
And weird, so.
I'm not sitting on the wet floor.
Yeah.
Even if there isn't space,
she's going to do it anyway.
I'll put my shield slightly to the floor, to the side, so there's a little bit extra space for light through rain to sit on.
Do you make biscuits? Do you like claw at it before you sit down?
I think a little bit unintentionally, just like sheer force of habit. Spiky feet.
Kind of scrapes off the front of his metal armor. Dicky, Zark, you see these two pathetic teammates just sit down in the rain and wait.
Yeah, I think
wait for the puzzle to solve itself. Cool.
I think Zark goes over like, well, what are you doing? Why are we? I thought we needed to get in.
Well, Linus says we're waiting for them to come out. Do you think we should go in and fetch them?
Well, I thought we might as well give it a go in the administrative dungeon. I've never been in one before, so it sounds pretty interesting.
I suppose it's...
That does sound like more effort, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you are right. Yeah. What do you think, Dickie?
Dickie's away with the fairies at the moment, not the sleep goddesses, but I'm just in my own little world counting gold. And then when I finish counting it, I keep counting it again. Over and over again.
Is that like counting sheep? Does it make you go to sleep?
Yeah. Well, it might make other people go to sleep. It depends on how I'm feeling.
As you sort of sit there, a couple of other people walk up to the gate as well. The guard kind of looks slightly exasperated, but not surprised to see an old half-orc woman with a baby. The baby's kind of coughing. And the woman kind of stands there looking up at the Acropolis. And then you see a sailor of some sort with a big stack of papers, something written in red at the top. He kind of stands there and joins you. And then, the longer you stay there, you just notice more and more people just beginning to sort of congregate around the gates.
I mean, if it looks to me like lots of people want to get in, and maybe the easier answer is if we just go in.
Yeah, that, or maybe it is a full moon.
And we just need to convince them.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a full moon, we're just allowed in, right? It's an open house consultation session.
I think you still have to make an appointment, right?
Yeah, but we could just kind of crouch down low behind that old lady.
Convince them that...
that we're her baby.
Yeah. Or we could just...
we steal her baby and pretend to be her baby.
I was more thinking we could just go inside and then they'd have to open the gates anyway and then everyone go in and then we'll all be inside.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think as long as today's the day, there's a full moon, there's not going to be a problem. I think, Sark, can I cast Minor Illusion and so that I've got the piece of paper that looks like the other guy's piece of paper with the red stamp on it? So I'm assuming that this one the sailor's got is the paper that I need to achieve.
Sure. Excellent, yeah. You cast Minor Illusion, make it... he's got a wadge of papers, maybe like... a stack of 25 or 30 pieces of paper, and the top one's got red writing scribbled on top of it, rather than a red stamp. But you can make one that looks like that.
Well, I have all of the papers in my satchel. I have like loads of paper that I get the mage hand to write on, so I could just give you a wadge of blank
like
paper,
and
you can illusion it to
look like
the relevant stuff.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll do that.
All right, and you want it to look like this guy's paper.
No, I want it to look like a piece of paper that says we're allowed in.
Okay. All right. Give me a...
That's all it says on it.
I am we're allowed in. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Sure. You don't know what this looks like. And the guy, the Minotaur, definitely does, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to make you make a deception check with disadvantage, please.
No. Does anyone else have one?
Well, you can go and ask the man. You can go and ask the man who's got the papers. You can go and ask him what it is.
Yeah. All right. Hello, mate. Sorry. Is that your entry slip there, or?
No. I gotta get entry in this place. I've been waiting for ages. I'm waiting for Myth and World himself to come out, and I'm gonna show him exactly what's happened. Because I've been pirated 3 times this month. 3 times I've lost all my money, and I'm waiting. I've been waiting for a long time. Look, see? And he starts going through his papers. Hey, see? That's the damage they did. This is how much they owe me. I know it was one of his men. I've seen that guy on one of his ships.
He starts ranting about various different times he's been pillaged and ransacked by pirates.
Oh, that is a shame.
I am out of money. I'm out of hope. And until I can speak to the city circle, I'm done for. And I can't get an appointment for love nor money. I ain't got no money and I ain't got no love, but I want to talk to Mythenwald. That's what I want to do. I want to show him a piece of my mind.
Yeah, is he due out soon then, or have you just been waiting?
I come back here every day, and they come down, and the carriages come, and they jump in those carriages so quick, and I shout at him. I say, "Hey, lazy eye, I've got something to say," and he's gone. Okay. It's
Excuse me.
Hello, Kitty.
If we could get the gates to open, would you like to go inside and try to talk to him?
Why, if the gates had opened, I'd stride right up there myself, I would. I'd take those steps two at a time, I'd get to the top and I'd say, hey! Hey! Lazy eye! Come here! I reckon your men have been pillaging my ship and you're supposed to be above the law!
Because I have an idea.
What, open the gates, is it?
Yeah. To get them to open them, at least.
Alright, well... let me know if I can do anything to help.
You just need to get everyone else to rush in through the gates as soon as they're open.
Won't I get, poked by a halberd?
Probably not, if the plan works properly.
If you had to give a score out of 10 for the amount of my life I'd be risking by doing this plan with you, what would you give it?
2.
2 being 2 out of 10 people will die? Or survive?
No, like 2. Maybe like 2 of your fingers.
He looks down at his hand, kind of counts off how many fingers he's got left. He goes, I'll take that risk.
I would like to, go back over to the guards and approach them and sort of go, what would you do if somebody managed to get in by mistake?
We'd make sure that they didn't get any further up. Probably throw some sort of explosive at them. He checks his inventory. Aye? And, we've got these things. He clangs his halberd against his pal's halberd, who looks a little bit shocked, kind of comes out of a dream.
You'd have to rush in through the gates to get to them.
Aye. I mean, the guards at the top could do something about that too. But, it's our job to make sure the city circle stays safe. At all times.
So, if I did this, I would like to use my nomadic step to teleport 20 feet per side point spent to an unoccupied space I can see. I am assuming that I can Amazing. See through the bars.
You can fully see through the bars. right. Okay.
And I would like to teleport inside the gates.
All right, this is when you get to this point in D&D where the cool thing to happen is also the stupid thing for the guys to do. So I'm going to hide this behind a wisdom saving throw. These are not wise minotaurs, but also they would be stupid to open the gates right now. So here we go. Yeah.
I'm just assuming that at some point someone has to open the gate to throw me out.
They rolled a 19. They see you cross over, they look at you with fury, and the one of them shouts, come back here, come this side, come right here, please, thank you, come back.
No.
Here. Right. He picks up a stone from his satchel, and he goes, intruder inside the gates. And you hear from above the top of the steps some clattering as 2 minotaurs start running down from the top of the Acropolis. Quite sort of like... peppy, quite high knees as they kind of doof, 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 holding their halberds that kind of jam up and down. You are being swiftly approached by 2 more minotaurs who are about, I would say, 100 steps above you right now, but descending quite fast.
Okay, so I'm just going to find the relevant nomadic power because I also have the nomadic power to switch places with people.
Whilst Light Through Rain is doing this, can I ask, would I know what any of the members of the council look like?
Yes. I think you would. There are various kind of celebrities and local figures there. Give me a history check, please.
History check. Okay. History. That's a 19.
Okay, yeah. You're an intelligent enough man to have certainly studied the city circle. There are a few of them who are more well-known and public-facing than others. There is the mezzo-soprano opera singer, Alien Lily Rosewater Hugill, who is a large loxodon. She is often performing in Trickling. You definitely know how she looks and sounds. There is the tiefling champion of Chum, which is the kind of shark jousting sport. She's called Jezebel Mangatis. I think you probably recognise her. She's on the front of the journal quite a lot, and her latest big victories down in the amphitheatre.
There's the captain that they were talking about, who's a ghost pirate called Captain Lazy Eye Mythenwald. He's like the pirate sea captain. He's kind of they run a legitimate business now. And he's, again, fairly famous. And let's see, anyone else? I'll give you one more. I'll give you Samson Baston Rouge, who is a high-ranking member of the Lamplighters.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I reckon you've seen a portrait of him as you've walked through the Lamplight Guild. He is a barrel-chested, glowing sea elf with kind of radiant, glowing skin.
Okay, I would like to cast... Well, I will kind of like jog slightly behind the half-orc, then cast Disguise Self and make myself look like Baston Rouge.
So just to be very clear, the gates have not opened, so you're not jogging behind anyone. The two Minotaurs are coming down from the top of the Acropolis.
Yeah, I mean the half-orc woman who was outside.
Okay,
just to
excellent.
Kind of
yes.
Disguise, like hide myself as I...
Got it. So yeah, so you switch into the large blonde haired barrel chested sea elf Samson Baston Rouge, and yes, you just kind of linger behind this half orc mother.
Yeah, just for now.
Would you say I could count the pirate as an ally? The one that
which
I
pirate?
No, the one I was
the
chatting
Lazy
to.
Eye Mythenwald.
Earlier, the sailor.
Oh, the sailor.
Oh, yeah, he is an ally.
In which
now.
Case,
absolutely,
I would like to
yes.
use the power of transposition, which means that I temporarily swap places with him and put him inside the gates. And then I'd like to teleport myself
okay.
back in again.
Oh, this poor sailor.
Okay, so you just sort of. What, each time you teleport, what does it look like? How do you cast
it? It's all
these
sort
things?
Of. Power of the mind. So I think it's, I mean, it's got to be something quite cat-like. I think it's like she just sort of, she closes her eyes for a moment in that way of cats where they're like, if I can't see you, you can't see me, except it actually works.
Is that what cats do?
They do. They sort of hide face and like, I'm invisible now, and I'm like, no, you're not, mate. I can see the rest of you. But actually, her power of belief is strong enough that for a moment, when she closes her eyes, you can't see her either. And so it's like everybody blinks, okay. and suddenly she's over there.
Amazing. You see this confused sailor, his papers suddenly fluttering to the ground inside. He picks them all up. As he turns around, he sees these Minotaurs running down. He just goes, oh no, I didn't... Sorry! He starts running back towards the gate, trying to get out again. Ayo, so you're going to teleport back inside again?
have you thrown yourself off talking about Samson? Yes, I...
What?
You...
Oh, Ayo, yes, oops, that's another character you played. That's hilarious.
Yes.
Peek into another world.
Into another world.
Light through
yes,
rain.
Yes, I will teleport myself back inside again.
Wonderful, yes. Good, okay, cool. I hope you're spending all these
am,
points because
yes.
I know that you're yeah good great I'm not keeping track but I'm sure that you are. You are now back inside. This sailor is kind of desperately clanging on the bars trying to get back out of the gate. The Minotaurs at the gate now look very confused and quite troubled at what's going on. What do you want to do?
I'm just going to keep doing this if you don't open the gates.
I'm going to walk to the gates at the bottom, and I don't know what this person sounds like, but does Disguise Self also change your voice? I don't know.
I mean, I would say he has a fairly confident, broad, slightly posh accent that is quite distinctive, but in the rain and with this man clanging on the gates, I wouldn't say it's going to be too hard to try and deceive him here.
So I will walk to the guards at the gates and just go, what on earth is going on here?
Oh, Mr. Baston Rouge, I'm so sorry.
Get that man out right now.
Absolutely. Give me a intimidation check, please, with advantage.
That's a 14.
Yeah, that's enough. He kind of bows. They move the halberds apart. He unlocks the gate and goes, ow! And sort of moves in to grab this sailor. And I think with the other hand, he's going to try and grab you as well, Light Through Rain. Can you make me a contested athletics check, please? Or are you going
to
try and dodge?
I'd like to try and dodge.
I actually think you'd have had time to run away, because he's got to reach, open the door, turn the key and push the gate. So I'm going to say, I'm going to give you this for free, that you can dart back 10, 20 feet in the time that it takes him to open the door.
Yeah, I would definitely run back a good chunk of distance up the stairs.
Towards the other Minotaurs?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, excellent. Just... who are now barreling down these steps as fast as they can. So, Linus, what are you doing?
I will walk in just as if I belong, straight through the gates as they open.
Yeah, no one bothers you at all.
I will kind of like have a bit of a spring in my step as I like walk up the steps multiple at a time, like kind of trying to rush up to where Light Through Rain is.
Yeah, you reach Light Through Rain fairly fast. At this point, the Minotaurs are no more than about 20 steps above you and bearing down really fast. The gates, meanwhile, are probably going to close fairly soon. So, Zark and Dickie, I need to know what you're up to.
Whining, just getting scared. I mean, so is there still a very large group of people outside the gates who all want
yeah.
to have audience?
As the gate has opened, they're all coming towards the open gate, but the other guard has got his halberd down in like a defensive position, is just kind of poking it, so they're all, as they're coming forward, they're also pushing back. It's getting really, really tense around this gate area.
I was hoping we could just rush them.
You can. You can.
I might
yeah.
just be like, they can't stop all of us. And just kind of like barrel through.
Run. Amazing. Do you have any ability to help you with this inspiring speech? I feel like as a bard, you
yeah,
might.
As a bard, bardic inspiration. No, magical inspiration. Yeah. One of those.
I'm just trying to look at. Yeah, well, I'm trying to look at this. Magical inspiration is sort of a part of your bardic inspiration and not so useful here. Your bardic inspiration, you could grant bardic inspiration to some of these bystanders to help them become particularly good at bursting through. You've got three of them to give out, so you could give bardic inspiration to three different people as you pass through the crowd.
Yeah, can I give it to the three strongest looking ones?
Yeah, you sort of clap the strongest ones. This mother with a baby looks pretty strong. You also see somebody who is kind of in a cast, but looks he's kind of this enormous, kind of hulking, muscular dwarf, and you feel like he might, even with one leg, might be able to do some good. There's also this very tall elf who's kind of got a cudgel that he looks like he's okay to wield. You clap each of these three on the back as you go by, spending all three of your bardic inspiration. you're going to...
Can I help?
No, you're way too far away.
I've realised I've got a psychic ability that can help.
You're like 60 feet away up some stairs being chased by Minotaurs, but tell me how you can help.
It's called Psychic Hammer and it has a range of 120 feet.
Okay, tell me what it does.
Basically, as an action, I can try to grasp a creature I can see within 120 feet with a hand made of telekinetic energy, and it has to make a strength saving throw.
Or what?
Oh, please pick up Nikki.
or take 1d6 force damage and be moved up to 10 feet in a straight line.
Okay, you can do this to the guard. You can do this to Dickie.
Dickie's still counting money. He's not paying attention.
Dickie's having a very difficult day.
I'm literally sitting on the floor now and I'm holding up my gold coins and they're talking to each other. And
to be fair, I was originally thinking, oh, if I glanced back, would I try and help move a guard? But actually, if I glanced back, maybe I'm going to do it to Dickie just to drag it in.
So tell me again. So they have to make a strength save or be dragged how long? How far?
They must succeed on a strength saving throw or take 1d6 force damage. If you take any damage and are large or smaller, I can move them up to 10 feet in a straight line in a direction of my choice.
I don't think 10 feet is going to be enough because they're going to hit the fence.
Yeah.
I think you probably do better moving one of the guards, wouldn't you?
Probably that. That was my original thought, was yeah, if I can see them all rushing, I could try and shift the guard a little bit.
Yeah. All right, go for it. So what's your strength save DC?
I guess it's against my telekinetic power, which is a DC 13.
The guard who is currently holding this sailor got a 7. Where do you want to push him?
Just backwards by 10 feet.
Backwards as in out into the street?
now, like sort of into the steps, I guess.
Oh, into the city. Okay, fine. Yeah. He is suddenly like yanked. So he takes 1d6 damage. So what's that?
Index is B. I forgot about that. But I was.
I mean, it won't do a huge difference. He's a big minotaur with lots of hit points.
Oh, that's a 6.
Wonderful. Yeah, you see this kind of, I think, Zark, you're closest, to see his head just kind of slightly crumple down. You hear a clang on his helmet, though nothing hits it. And then he's just sort of flung backwards, like yanked from the back of his collar, inwards 10 feet, with this other sailor still in his hands. The papers fly everywhere. The gate swings open. The other Minotaur guard looks terrified and starts jabbing various passers-by with his halberd. And everyone, if you would like to, you are now able to run in through the gates.
Yeah, I will start like jogging up the stairs a little bit faster, as if I'm terrified of this horde of people that are coming in, considering I'm assuming that some of them would want to speak to the person who I currently look like.
Yeah, right. The Minotaurs passing the direction go, "Oh, get behind us, sir!" And kind of part so that you can go straight between the two of them.
Okay.
And they are sprinting towards you, Light Through Rain. Zark, Dickie, now's your chance. It is now or never. Are you going to run through those gates?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
excellent. Does a 16 hit, Zark?
Oh. Oh, Lord. Yes.
Okay. You're dealt 8 points of piercing damage as the halberd smacks through your armor. You're kind of thrown to one side for a minute, but you are able to pass because this guard is just jabbing once at everyone who tries to get by. You are one of about 4 or 5 people who've now managed to get in through the gates. Dickie?
I have this impression that Dickie's just completely oblivious to what is going on.
It does feel like that, yeah.
And nobody's actually dragged him kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
Dickie looks up and sees a lot of commotion. And he decides to leg it to the gates.
Okay, excellent. Does a... Oh, it doesn't. A 6 does not hit your armor class, I assume.
It doesn't, no.
As you get up, confused, see the rest of your party inside, past the gates of this area. You get up, run past. You're narrowly missed by the swing of a halberd, and you find yourself breaking through into this large, open, grassy area with a wide set of stone steps leading 200 steps up to this acropolis at the top of the hill. So, here's the situation. Samson, you're halfway up the stairs, going in the other direction, up towards the acropolis. Light Through Rain. There are minotaurs bearing down on you from above. Beneath that, there is a kind of a mess of various different people all trying to make a break for the top, and one Minotaur guard with the sailor still in his hands, grappling him to the ground. Zark, you're part of that group, and Dickie, you're not far behind as well. I'm not going to roll initiative, I'm just going to carry on with this kind of general melange. The two Minotaur guards run down. Halberds poked at you, Light Through Rain, and go, "Halt! Stop where you are!"
Yeah, I will at least temporarily stop.
Okay, great. One of the guards reaches forward and grabs your hand and is going to try and put it behind your back and put you into some sort of a half Nelson. Are you going to resist?
No, I'll carry on going with it for now.
And he begins to march you back down towards the gates. The other guard now runs past you forward and finds someone else. Easily, this woman with a baby kind of grabs both the woman and the baby and begins to frog march them back out of the gates as well. This means, I think, that all of the guards are now busy. So Zark and Dickie, if you want to, you can begin to run up the steps.
Yeah, I'm just going to run and try and tuck in behind Linus, I think.
You're legging it up. Okay, let's go back up. Dickie, I'm assuming you're running up too, are you?
Who's around me at the moment?
There is a squat goblin woman who has a bag full of rattling things, and she's going smack down, and she's trying to run up towards the top as well.
Oh, don't send her. To
No, I'm not.
She's not any threat to you.
Yeah, I'm going to follow Sark.
Okay, you're heading up. The goblin woman goes, "Can you? I need to show them my bones!"
I was going to say, you can risk using sleep because I've got a handy new ability.
Surely you're out of psi points by now, aren't you?
No, this is a different one. This is a class ability. Also, because Mystic Scales, normally I've gone from having 6 to 14.
Oh my God, it's so weird. All right. Coming towards the top of the steps now, Linus, you can see that there are various figures at the Acropolis at the top who have been alerted by this noise and are looking down. You see quite a few powerful figures, some of whom you recognise as being the City Circle. They've been roused from whatever meeting they were having, and they are looking down with some disdain at what's going on. You are no more than about 60 feet from them, and I think you can pick out amongst that crowd Samson Baston Rouge.
Okay. Okay. Oh, this is all good. Shit, who's gonna change? I will, like, as I sort of like peek my head over, I'm going to shout back down to the guards and just say, I'll just shout, bring that troublemaker to the circle, let them decide her fate, at the ones that are carrying Light Through Rain.
Give me a persuasion check.
Persuasion. That's an 18.
Oh, wow. The guard looks confused, is sort of halfway down to frog marching her out, and turns around and goes, okay, sir! Yes! And begins to drag you back up the steps, like through rain, up towards the City Circle. Are you continuing to go up towards the City Circle yourself?
I will let the other guards now go in front of me.
Okay, you're going to wait quite a long time, because they're quite a long way further down.
I don't want to be the first one up, because obviously I will... that could go poorly.
You'll have to wait for a little bit of time, because you were running up the stairs, they were marching Light Through Rain down the stairs. But no, you can do that. You could make yourself busy and go and help, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I will try and whisper to Light Through Rain to let her know that, or let them know it's actually me.
Okay, you get down to about her level. You kind of just, how are you going to do that without alerting the guard?
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, I'm going to try and, in passing, mention one of the events that happened in that room. And just hope that a bubble comes out of my mouth.
Amazing. Totally possible. Yeah. One quick bubble just burps out. Give me a stealth check. And Light Through Rain, give me a perception check, please.
It's disadvantage because I have heavy armor.
That's weird. I think don't do disadvantage. This is, okay. This is about blowing a bubble. And therefore, unless the 14. Heavy armor is covering your mouth, it shouldn't be a problem.
That's a 5.
14.
Okay. All right. You make a lovely little subtle bubble. Light Through Rain completely misses it. Light Through Rain, as far as you're concerned, this kind of blonde-haired, upper-class idiot has just come down to help drag you up to the City Circle. But as this is happening, and you've strode down and they're now dragging Light Through Rain up, various other inbreakers, what are they called?
Rioters?
Rioters? They're not really rioting, yeah. Infiltrators, intruders, have kind of run up the sides of the hill on either side and are further up than you. And you can see some of the City Circle beginning to, like, prepare spells. You can see this ghost pirate pulls out a great glowing ghostly sword. Another of them pulls out a great big trident. And one other one, this kind of great Leonin with pearls on his kind of headpiece, fires down one cursory guiding bolt, catching the side of this poor goblin, whose bag of bones spills down the hill. This kind of small bag, which has surprisingly large numbers of small bones that just kind of spill all the way down. They are now sort of defending the top as if they're being attacked.
How wide is the staircase?
It's quite wide. I would say it's each step is about 10 to 12 feet wide.
Okay, and is there any other way up apart from this staircase?
Yeah, you can run up the hill. It's kind of decorative, right? It's okay.
Okay, but would it be more difficult to run up the hill?
It's raining.
Okay, perfect. In which case, I will use my final spell slot to cast Grease on the stairs behind me. So that we can't get down, but also they can't really get up.
Around this time, some of the guards are depositing some of these infiltrators down outside. The gates clang closed and they turn around to chase you back up again. Right, and you're making your way up the stairs. You see to your right an elf with a letter still in its envelope, kind of holding it up, just gets blasted with an eldritch blast, falls backwards, slides down the muddy hill, just all the way back down. This is proper, like, capture the flag stuff now. It's Saving Private Ryan, but, like, at an administrative centre.
Okay, hopefully that bought us a bit more time.
Okay, yeah, you are now striding up these steps, getting quite close to a very defensive-looking city circle, who are holding back all these intruders with various different spells and weapons. They have their weapons raised, and I think you are now definitely getting close enough that they will fully recognise that you are looking very much like Samson Baston Rouge.
Okay. I will drop the disguise self.
Okay.
And just say, I'm sorry, we have a very important message.
Yeah, there's a one sort of silver-haired, robed sea elf stands forward, his arms kind of raised, palms pointing down as if to calm everyone down, and just says, everybody lay down your weapons. Everyone stay exactly where you are.
Yep,
have the Minotaur guards also stopped?
Yeah, I can plan.
No, they've stopped, but they've not dropped their weapons.
I don't have my hands.
You are in captivity. Don't listen to this. Keep hold of that cat, please. Everyone, just lay down your weapons. I do not want any further harm caused.
Okay, I will unclip my tool belt, and it will just like clatter onto the floor.
He sort of nods in approval, and kind of puts his hands kind of together, clasped together, and goes, "My name is Principal Lucian Duskhold. I am Principal of the College of the Enlightenment and a member of the City Circle. You've broken city laws by entering without bidding. You have caused great insult and damage to our institution. But you say you have important news. I will give you one sentence to utter what this news is, and then my circle mates? Yes. My council members and I shall decide whether you shall be remanded in custody in the bucket, or if we shall give you counsel. Choose your words carefully, Dragonborn. You have but six.
I mean, I know something that I could say.
But will it come out as a bubble?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay. The spring tide is coming immediately.
Give me a persuasion check, please.
Oh, God. That's a six. Oh.
And that will end the session.
Oh.
What a cliffhanger.
Okay, wonderful. This is great. Thanks for that. I do like D&D because I set a stupid like Monkey Island-esque puzzle about like get through the gate by having a document, and instead you cause like serious unrest in the city.
Of course. Just dash in screaming, stop the count.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but my favourite part of D&D is the bureaucracy.
Yeah. It's everyone's favourite part of D&D.
Me too. I'm so disappointed you guys didn't visit the bureaucratic democracy. What is it called?
the administrative
dungeon.
Yeah.
Okay, that is going to be the end of our session. Join us next episode as we find out how on earth they can get out of this. They have broken laws, committed crimes, and then failed to persuade the city. Well, I assume with a six, failed to persuade the city circle that they mean they are actually telling of any important news. We will find out later. Thanks everyone for listening. Tune in next time, and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Technomancers, a D&D podcast. You can subscribe to hear the next episode when it comes out, and until then, see you later, nerds.
When I realised that I've now got enough psi points to do really stupid things.
D&D?
Dusty, because you can't record in Spotify. That's not how it works.
Aren't we, like, meant to wash our feet or something?
That's why all of your recordings sound like Beyonce.
Nice.
Sweet. And then you want to press record.
You do want to press record at some point.
That is, ideally, you should press record.
I'll be honest, guys. This isn't how I thought it would go. Please don't. It would bore me to hell. Oh, am I counting down?
I mean, you usually do.
3, 2, 1. Everybody, let's play Dandy.